We're here this morning to witness the baptism of Lindy Jones. And Lindy, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Then upon your profession of faith in Jesus and in obedience to His command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Scripture comes from John chapter 6. Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee, and a huge crowd followed him. He asked Philip, "Where will we buy bread so these people can eat?" Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough." Andrew said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Then Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass, so they sat down, about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also with the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were full, he told his disciples, "Collect the leftovers, so that nothing is wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces.
But we're going to look this morning at John chapter 6 and the subject, satisfying the hungry. Can we feed the hungry? There are many who would say, well, we can feed some. We certainly can't feed all. We can do our little bit. We can certainly feed our own families, hopefully, and those maybe our neighbors that might have a need from time to time. But 5,000, forget it. 5,000. We've had as many as maybe 100 people. How many would you say, Ruby, at a dinner? 1,500? When we get 50, that seems quite a bit, doesn't it? Yeah, we're pretty full to capacity, but 5,000, just imagine that. How are you going to feed 5,000 people? And the Bible actually says that these were men. So the 5,000, that is, were men. So there were likely at least double that many, and maybe more, like triple. So it was a huge crowd. That's what it says here in my translation of John chapter 6 and verse 1. A huge crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was performing on the sick. So Jesus went up on a mountain and sat there with his disciples. Now, I'm not sure that he went up there, but I think not just to be with his disciples, but I think he wanted to minister to that crowd. One of the other versions of this in the other Gospels, it may say that here, but it says one of the disciples told him to send them away. Send them away. Have you ever felt like sending people away? I know if you've had company, you probably have thought that in your minds. Go away so we can get things back to normal. Go away, we really can't do any more for you. We're just a little me, And I think sometimes we're overwhelmed by the need of hungering people in the world. We hear of course, people in Africa and places like that are just emaciated because they are virtually starving to death. They are starving to death. So what can we do about it? And what is the lesson here for us? I think it's not just physical hunger, but spiritual hunger. There was a famous philosopher who once said that God created us with a God-shaped vacuum in our lives. It can only be filled with Him. And until we are filled with Him, our hearts are restless. Another, I think it was Augustine who said, our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee. So there's a deep hunger in the world that Jesus wants to satisfy, and only Jesus can satisfy. So that's really the lesson that I want us to let sink down into our hearts today. Can we feed the hungry? Yes, I believe we can. We can, but Jesus can. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. Or he asked here in this passage, where will we find bread so that these people, or buy bread, so that these people can eat? Philip answered. Philip was kind of one of the analytical ones. 200 denarii. You probably don't know what a denarii is. I'm not totally sure. There's some controversy exactly how much this was in today's money, but I read one commentary that this was probably about 8 or 9 months' wages. So it was a huge amount of money. Obviously overwhelming to this small group that was, Jesus had asked the question that prompted their thinking, where are we going to find money? Or where are we going to buy bread so that these people can eat? I think it's interesting because Jesus, we know, is the Lord. He is the Son of God. The Bible says that He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. There's no shortages with Jesus. We sometimes wring our hands, maybe you don't, but I know many are, because of the economy and how terrible things are in our present day. Remember, God is the same, and Jesus is God. The Bible says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Later down in the passage, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who believes in Me will never hunger or thirst. And so this is the one that was standing in their presence. This is the one who is with us today. So I'm asking the question again, can we feed the hungry? I believe we can. I believe Jesus can. Jesus can, if He multiplied the loaves and fishes, the little boy's lunch, then He can supply needs through us. He wants to do that. He wants to show who He is and that He can satisfy. So those are some of the lessons in preview, but I want us to just kind of look at the passage together. Because first of all, there's a place where there's a need for Jesus to meet those needs. And I would suggest that it was a barren place. We're told that it was by this, or he'd crossed over the Sea of Galilee near Bethsaida, But we're not sure exactly which Bethsaida this was. It was obviously a desert place, a barren place. It wasn't in a city. They couldn't go to a restaurant or whatever the equivalent they had in those days. They were out in the wilds. I suppose it would be like if Jesus were here today and he met with a group of people on the mountainside here, Warner Mountains. It was a barren place. And I think we are often in a barren place. We sometimes feel like, you know, how is God going to meet my needs? Let alone meet the needs of others through me. And so we sometimes, I think, give in to this defeatism that I think we hear it here in the reply that Philip gave. Why? Lord, you got to be kidding. I'm kind of adding that. But he said 200 denarii. Let's say $10,000. Let's just say. I think it probably would be at least that much. Why $10,000 worth of bread? Wouldn't it even be enough for each of them to have a little? Just to have communion or the Lord's Supper. So it gives us an idea of the magnitude of the need there. A barren place. Barren hills. Desolate. These were people that were just, I think, must have been just looking to God to meet their need. And again, Jesus is God. They came to the right place, didn't they? But it was barren. But it was also a bountiful place. Because we read about how the Lord abundantly met that need. How he took a little and he made much out of it. So I don't know where all of you are in your lives. I know that you're like everyone. You're feeling some pressure on you. Maybe financial, maybe family, maybe health. There are many kinds of trials that we go through in life. But Jesus said it's inevitable. He said, in the world you will have tribulation. But then he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I want to encourage you to put your faith in Jesus, to realize that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you even ask or think. And it was certainly a blessed place. Blessed because Jesus was there. Think about that. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you invited him into your life? Then he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He's also said, my God shall meet all my need according to his abundant riches in Christ Jesus. So don't give in to this pessimism that is so prevalent in our time. You know, I don't think it's any different than any other time in the fact that we experience problems, that we experience maybe problems on a bigger scale, more of a national scale, because, you know, frankly, I think America, by and large, has abandoned God. And God has sent some trials, I think, to turn our hearts back to him. So it can be a blessing in disguise, this barren place. But it's also a bountiful place because Jesus is there and a blessed place. Put your trust in Jesus in that barren place that you may feel you are in, because that barren place can become a bountiful place. Jesus has promised to meet your need. And a blessed place, certainly, because he is there. And he wants to meet that, not only your need, but like here. I think these lessons are so obvious. I think it's just, you know, that we're kind of not there as far as really thinking about what is before us here. What Jesus, what God is teaching here through this example of Jesus. I think we're a lot like his disciples, a lot like Philip, but wanting to analyze everything and, you know, ooh, you know, things are really bad. And, you know, I can't see how it could be any worse. And we give in to all these kinds of thoughts that really the devil is whispering in our ear. He's really the prince of pessimism. And he wants us to get our eyes off of Jesus. I think yesterday one of the preachers was referring to Peter, how he walked out on the water when Jesus said, come out of the boat, walk to me. And Peter began to look, you know, he began to maybe be kind of proud of his accomplishments. And then he began to sink because he had taken his eyes off Jesus. Let's put our eyes and keep our eyes on Jesus. There's a place here that we can learn from, a lesson, but also a people. And those people were some of them, actually just one, at the very beginning. It tells us about how Andrew, I like this. Andrew was kind of the brother that everyone would like to have. Kind of like my older brother, I think. And he came with a small boy. The language would tend to indicate that maybe he was about the size of maybe Connor or maybe Scott. I just, you know, 7 or 8 years old, maybe, at the most. But he brought a lunch. I think it was his own lunch. Said, here's a boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many? I can't help but think about the childlike faith of that little boy. How he probably heard Jesus ask that question. Where are we going to get money to feed, buy enough to feed all these people? Of course, Jesus knew that it was really just to get them to think about the need and who they were in the presence of. But I think that little boy must have believed in Jesus. Must have believed that he could do anything. Kind of like, Vince, you believe about that about your dad, right? You know, he had that childlike faith. He just believed that, well, here's my offering to you, Jesus. You use it, multiply it, however, whatever you want to do with it. I know you can work miracles. You're the miracle worker. And so they shared. This little boy did. And then Jesus instructed that they sit. And I think maybe he instructed this, not just from an organizational standpoint, getting the food down the rows of people. But remember, nothing had happened to this point. So I believe it showed faith that they would just simply sit down, that they would obey the Lord and sit down and just wait. Just wait for the blessing to come. It's really what really beautiful picture of faith. They shared, they sat, and then they served. Well, some did. The disciples went in and out among the people. I think like the servants at the wedding where Jesus turned the water into wine. Do you remember that? The Bible says John does, actually. The servants knew where that wine came from. Or that, I think it was new wine, but you can argue with me on that. But they believed that, and new wine, of course, grape juice. But I think that they knew. Well, they certainly knew. The Bible says that they knew. The disciples certainly knew that something remarkable was happening. Just imagine the impact that must have had upon their faith. And it's why God has recorded this for us today, that we might put our faith in Jesus. Like this small boy, he hadn't seen it yet. He hadn't seen what Jesus was going to do, but he just believed. And he offered what he had to Jesus. That's really all we are called to do. We can't offer more than we have, but we are to offer what we have to Jesus. And then he could multiply it. Now, did that little boy go hungry, do you think? Because he gave up his loaves and fish? I don't think so. I think he was probably stuffed to the gills, we would say. I think so. So there are some great lessons here for us. Serving. We are called to serve, aren't we? We're called to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and to distribute that which he has given to us. I don't really think the miracle happened, and you can argue about this, I suppose, but until they began to obey Jesus, they sat down, the loaves and fish were multiplied. It says he took the loaves, and after he had distributed them to those who were seated, he also did with the fish as much as they wanted. But it was all an exercise in faith. We come to Jesus in faith. We believe in him. We put our trust in him. We invite him into our lives. We believe that there's nothing too hard for him, that he is God. And we by faith, trust him that he's going to provide. And we then, like the disciples, we get up and serve others. So there's there are great lessons here. I just wanted to encourage us to just meditate upon these things, to let them sink into our hearts and to influence our lives, to follow Jesus, to believe in him, and to serve others in his name. There's a perfection of satisfying that we can learn from here. And in that perfection, there's a satisfaction. The Bible says they received as much as they wanted. So they didn't tell him, well, you know, just take one for now, and then, you know, maybe we'll see if there's any left. Kind of like we do at some of the dinners that we have. But isn't it amazing, Ruby, how God just seems to provide? Sometimes we wonder, is God going to provide the food, the meal? Sometimes we wonder about that. I think probably where potluck came from. I kind of think we should call it pot blessing or something like that. Because I don't really believe in luck. God provides. There's satisfaction. I think they were not only filled physically, but they were filled spiritually. Because they came to believe in the one who is able to do what no one else could possibly do, the Lord Jesus, and salvation. So they put their trust in him. I'm sure many, many did in that several thousand, 10,000 or more people that gathered there. And there was sanctification. Sanctification just means that he sets us apart for service. And the disciples, I believe, understood more of that as they began to share with the multitudes. Now, I realize that there are several different, there were probably at least two different occasions when Jesus fed a multitude. There was the feeding of the 5,000 and then the feeding of the 4,000. You may remember that. I don't know why the 4,000 is before the 5,000. Maybe they just needed reminding. Maybe they just needed this reminder, the disciples, that is, that Jesus can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I believe that people of faith in Jesus Christ who take that seriously, they'll see Jesus do great things through them. And those, on the other hand, who limit him and who tend to count the pennies and how much is this going to cost and, oh, you know, we can't do this. It's overwhelming. We can only minister to our little few and no more. I think that they really limit the power of Jesus, what Jesus wants to do through us. So I just want to encourage us to be like the disciples here, having faith in Jesus, serving others in His name, just believing like that little boy that Jesus is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we do, all that we think, above all that we think, and that He is indeed the one who the Bible says owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. May we put our trust in Him. May we follow Him. May we serve others in His name.
We are standing on hope.